Not be able to stand in one spot. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. I'm glad I'm saved. And we're not saved by our feelings, but I believe when you get saved, you can feel it. We're saved by truth. But ever since I've been saved, I've felt it. Got something very simple I want to read this morning, just one verse, and we're going to try to bring what God has laid on our heart. I want to read one verse out of the book of Genesis, maybe even part of the verse, but it's in Genesis chapter 8 and verse number 1. I want to try to preach just a little bit on this subject, the other side of the storm. So if you got your Bible, let's read this together, and we're going to be spending a little time here in these first few chapters of Genesis. Of course, there's a lot of other places. You know, the way you study the Word of God is you compare the Word of God with the Word of God. The Bible does not contradict itself. In fact, the Bible supports itself. Sometimes people who don't want to believe in the Bible or accept the Word of God, they say, well, you know, it's if you just take the book, the Bible, and that's all you read, then you're basically using the idea of circular reasoning, because the book supports itself. Well, let's remember, folks, it's 66 books written with a number of authors, three different languages over a period of over a couple of thousand years. And the Bible says where holy men of old were moved upon by the Holy Spirit. That's why when we come up to the New Testament and pick up some verses, they're going to support what we find written in the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. But in the book of Genesis, chapter 8, and verse number 1, here's what I want to read. God remembered Noah. Now, I want you to think about that as we get into this message this morning and we begin to look at it. Now, I want us to understand what led up to where God remembered Noah. You know, if you go back over to the 6th chapter and you pick up to where there was all kinds of sin and wickedness in the earth and God looked upon the earth. But the scripture says another thing about Noah over there in chapter 6 and verse number 8 says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, up until this time, it had been different. There had never been the type of storm that was coming. Now, historical review, what I want you to understand is when God remembered Noah, he was remembering him after he had just passed through what was the greatest storm in the history of mankind. There's never been a storm like this storm, and I don't believe, based on what I understand written in the Word of God, there will ever be a storm like this storm until Jesus comes. Because the Lord promised that the earth would not ever be destroyed again by flood. Not ever again by waters falling, but it does give us some idea of what it would be like when it's done the second time. But what I want us to understand as we look at this, this is the greatest storm in the history of mankind. Now, I've heard it said this way, and I think we need to understand this, and we need to understand it in our lives. And I don't like it. Some of the things I'm going to tell you this morning, and I say this sometimes, not everything written in the Word of God do I like. Not everything about being a Christian do I like, but I want you to understand this. You're either in a storm, you're getting ready to go into a storm, or you're just coming out of a storm. Now, when we look at this scripture, what the Bible teaches us, if you begin to read through the 6th, the 7th, and the 8th chapter, the greatest storm in history, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, the greatest storm I can remember, you remember just several years ago, we had about 20 inches of rain around this area. You could go down on the 4-lane going into Austell, and the 4-lane, 278, was actually covered with water all the way across. I-20 was covered with water down near Six Flags. I work in Noonan. The only bridge that I could get across south of Atlanta, I had to drive all the way to Whitesburg and go across that new bridge that they built between Whitesburg and Noonan. The water was so high that when I went across it, the water lacked about 18 inches hitting the side of the bridge. And they said if the water hits the side of the bridge, they have to shut the bridge down. Every other bridge was shut down. And I begin to drive through there, and I'm thinking about it, and I'm seeing trees uprooted. I'm seeing things floating down the water. I'm seeing houses destroyed. I had a guy come to my house, and we got in my boat, and we went over here close to where some of our church members live, and we were just going to back the boat into to the water off of the paved road to go and rescue people from their houses. Now, folks, what I want you to understand, that was just a very small fraction of what this storm was like. When it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, y'all understand the term when we say it was raining cats and dogs. Well, folks, it was raining cats and dogs. It wasn't raining a little bit. It was big drops of rain, okay? It was a lot of rain. Now, not only that, but the Bible tells us in the 7th chapter that it says the fountains of the deep were opened up. Now, I have studied some of this, and I understand it. As a Christian, you see, I believe the Bible. So when I read science, I'm looking for science that supports the Bible. Because I don't care what the world says, I believe the Bible. Okay? And I took a class where we actually studied the flood. We studied the Garden of Eden. We talked about the things that happened before the flood. You know how when you read your Bible before the flood, they lived to be 800 and 900 years old. It was common. Well, there's a whole lot of things that happened during the flood. Now, I just give you a little bit of it. There's a whole lot that happened with the ozone layer. There's a whole lot that happened with the plates that are under the earth because of the earthquakes, and the ground began to quake, and it began to change, and the water said, the Bible says that the fountains of the deep were opened up. You see, not only was water coming down, but water was coming up. Can you imagine being in the ark? Now, I'll tell you one thing. If the flood was happening, you'd want to be in that ark, wouldn't you? There are a lot of people that are going to want to be in the ark of safety when the Lord comes again. But now's the time to get in. You see, the entire time that Noah was building this ark, I believe that people walk by and they do the same thing they do to you and I. They ride by this church sometimes. You know, there are people that just ride by and they mock at us for what we believe. You know, they ride by this morning, they say, look at that field. They're in there. And you know what they say? They're in there doing it again. Can I tell you, they come by Noah when he was building this ark, and no doubt they mocked. No doubt they said, what are you doing? There's not any water around here anywhere that'll float that thing. But it came. But can you imagine being in the ark? And then, now here's the thing about being in a storm, and this is what I want us to understand and see. That when you're in a storm sometimes and you get in it and you know you're in it, I tell you what drives me insane is the waiting. You see, I've been in storms before. I've been in battles in my relationship with God. I've had issues. I've had troubles. And I begin to think as we were singing this song this morning, and I looked up here at the choir, and I couldn't look at y'all. I was looking at them. And I seen people worshiping God. And I seen people raising their hands. And you know what I was thinking about? I thought every one of them up there is either in a storm, they've been through a storm, or just coming out of the storm. But they've all got burdens. They've all got troubles. They've all got heartaches. They've all got things in their life that are very heavy that they're having to deal with, or that they've had to deal with. And in some instances, you may not even see it. And that's what's surprising to me. I'll be around people and they worship God and they serve God, and you find out a little bit later how much they're dealing with, and you wonder how in the world they're even able to make it. You see, it's the waiting. It's a place that you don't want to be. It's inconvenience. You know, sure, I'd rather been in the ark than out of it, but I want you to understand something. If you read in your Bible, Noah was in that ark for 1 year and 10 days. In the ark. It didn't just rain and they rushed over here and they pulled up on the beach and got out. They were in there with those animals and those smells. And you know, when they were in that ark, even though they were in the ark of safety, there were storms going on and there were noises outside. There was thunder, there was lightnings, I believe there were clashings, I believe there were things hitting the side of the ark, and I even believe that when they first got in it and it first started to really rain, I believe they started hearing things outside. I believe they heard people say, can we get in? Can you open the door? But they were in there for 1 year and 10 days. Now you know, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. So basically, for another 11 months, They were floating on the waters. And as they floated upon the waters, the next thing that they dealt with, and this is the thing about the storm, is the uncertainty. You see, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, it's a storm when you go to the doctor and they tell you the results. And you're in the waiting, and it's the uncertainty, and you're praying, and you're seeking God, and you're trying to listen to God and be faithful, but there's so much uncertainty. Then we deal with the fear. The fear comes upon us, and we have to be careful to manage it. And, of course, we sing a song, "Fear, He is a Liar," but let's just be honest. We deal with the fear. We ask the question, what's going to happen? Now, I don't know about Noah, but I could tell you just about, think about if it were me. You know, sometimes can you imagine the sons and the wife and the daughters-in-law coming to Noah? How many questions he got every day? Kind of like going on vacation with your kids. Are we there yet? Daddy, when are we going to get there? My usual response is, go back to sleep. But can you imagine the questions that Noah might have been asked? How long? When is it going to stop raining? When are we going to get to the point that we can get out of here? Has God forgotten about us? You see, when you're dealing with the waiting and the uncertainty, sometimes, and I've realized this, sometimes you just have to put in the time. See, I've been going through storms and battles, and I've had some lately, and I recognize that I'm in it. And I tell you what I have to do. You just have to put in the time. See, sometimes when you're sick, the body has to have time to heal even when God got His hand on you. Sometimes when you got storms going on in your life, and especially when it involves those that you love, your loved ones could be in a storm, but I want you to understand something, that's your storm. You question, will the days pass? You're looking for tomorrow. And you're looking for a glimpse of the sun. Now folks, it's dark. It's stormy, and it was rough when they were in the ark. You see, sometimes when you're going through it, honestly, what you're doing is you're just looking to get through it. Now, let's understand this as we look at Noah and we look at him in this ark, and let's bring this back to us. I mean, we want to get to the point that we talk about the other side of the storm, but let's just understand something. Storms come in the lives of God's people. Storms come in everyone's life. You see, sometimes, though, it's unfortunate, and this is even for Christians, sometimes storms are self-inflicted. But sometimes storms are sovereignly initiated. But be it known, and you need to understand this, storms will come. Now, here's something else, too, and I believe this is real. I don't care how seasoned you are. I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord. Storms are hard to understand. You ever heard the question, why do good things happen? Or why do bad things happen to good people? See, sometimes the truth is, and we walk with the Lord and we continue to walk with the Lord, and the Bible does teach us that there is no temptation taking you except that which is common to man. And with every temptation, there will also be made a way of escape. Now, that way is Jesus. But I want to tell you something. I've been walking with the Lord. I saved when I was 12 years old. I've had to make the decision in my life, and I shared this with you recently, that I'm going to surrender to God. But the storms that I face today are not like the storms that I faced when I was 20. They're not like the storms that I faced when I was 25 or when I was 30 or when I was 40. And you know, the saying's true that if I live to be 60, I'm going to look back and say, God, I wish I knew when I was 50 what I know now that I'm 60. I can tell you that about the younger years of my life, but here's what I've had to do. I've had to learn to understand that not necessarily the farther I walk, the more that I know, but I have to trust and understand that God is with me, He's not left me, and I just need to wait and put in my time and look for Him. In James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4 says, through 4 says this, says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire. And what that means is mature and finished, wanting or lacking nothing. Then in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 12, and this is a verse we need to hold to. It says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. And I was talking to somebody this week, and now this is one of those things I don't like, but I'm going to tell you because I believe it. I believe the greatest glory that we can ever give the Lord in our life is learning how to suffer the right way. You see, if we can rejoice when it's good and we can just get real happy and serve God when everything's all right, you know, when the job's going good and you got that promotion and your kids are doing right and they're not giving you no trouble and, you know, you're not having no trouble at home and the washing machine's not broke and the car's not broke. You know, God gets glory from your life. Glad to be in the house of the Lord, looking for beautiful clothes on Easter Sunday morning. But what are we going to do when we're facing the greatest storm of our life? I tell you what we need to do. We need to recognize that the God on the mountain is the same God that helps us when we're in the valley. You see, storms, they're hard to understand. And I'm sure that when they went in there and all this started happening, even Noah, he didn't understand everything that was going on. But he got in there, and I believe when he got in there, he was glad he listened to God. See, what are we going to have when the storm is over? And here's what I want us to understand about storms. One thing that's very common, it's very true. They stop. You remember the hurricane that hit Galveston and hit the coast of Texas, and they talked about, I think it was about 40 inches of rain. Most rain they've ever had. And I know some people that live out there. Some of those neighborhoods, there are people right now who are living on the upper level of their house because they did not have flood insurance. They have very good paying jobs, and they have good positions in their community, but they've never been through a storm like that before. And they're living on the upper level of their house because the entire lower level, they had to tear every bit of the sheetrock out, every bit of the insulation out, every bit of the flooring out, every bit of the appliances have to be replaced. And because they don't have insurance, they're having to do it one day at a time and still maintain some sort of life to go to work, to go to school, to survive. But they're having to make it through that. But you know what's happened? That storm, as long as it rained, as difficult as it was, it stopped. And even when storms last a long time, they're usually temporary. You see, the Bible teaches us, it says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You see, we just read in the 8th chapter in the first verse, said God remembered Noah. Now I want to go to the 9th chapter in the first verse. Listen to this verse. It said, and God blessed Noah and his sons. Now I don't know about you, but if you like me, and I heard this said, and I've said this before, I am a mothering dad. That's just the way that I am. When our kids was born, our daughter, the first one, we brought her home from the hospital, I put the bassinet on my side of the bed. My little boys, especially Luke, my wife had him trained to where he would go to bed at night and lay in the bed and go to sleep. And I said, we can't have that. I went and got him and I laid him right there. And I said, this is where he needs to go to sleep at night. And he did till he got so big I had to tell him to get up. But you see, in the 9th chapter in the first verse, here's what he said. God bless Noah and his sons. You see, I've heard it said that a mother is never happier than her least happy child. Now, church, I want you to understand something. You might be going through a storm. Sometimes people say, well, it's not me. Well, if it's your loved one, it's you. It's you. Now, I want to give you some facts about this story. And I want you to understand this, and you know this. We know this is true. Noah and Noah's wife, Noah's three sons and his daughters-in-law, and all those things that Noah brought into that ark, they all made it through the storm. They made it through the storm. It was difficult. It was terrible. It was frightening. It was time that had to be spent, 1 year and 10 days in that ark, and the noises and the uncertainty, but they all made it through the storm. And here's the second thing. The boat that they were in, the ark, it did not sink. But here's why. We're going to speak on this again in just a minute. Because they made it the way that God told them to. You see, when God gave Noah the instruction to build the ark, he said, you build it this long. He said, you build it this wide. He said, you build it this high. And you're going to have 3 floors in it. And he said, now there's going to be some work to do. And now, you know, that's the thing sometimes we need to understand. We've got to do our part. Because if we'll just simply do our part, I believe, based on what I read and understand in the Word of God, he'll do his part. They built that ark the way that God told them to build it, and they had to pitch it within and without. They had to put the things on it that would cause it not to sink. They had to bring the food in the ark. They had to prepare. And he said, you're going to bring some animals into this ark. He said, but I'm going to send them. Now here's something else. After 1 year and 10 days, they opened the door and they came out of that ark. But when that ark came to rest, it was not sitting in a desert place. In fact, it came to rest very high on Mount Ararat. You see, in this story, here's what Mount Ararat is symbolic of. It is symbolic of resurrection ground. And what that means is it is a new beginning. And when we come through a storm, here's what I want us to understand. We come through it, it's a new beginning. Because every storm that you come through, what God has just done is he's prepared you for the next path. He's prepared you for the next journey. And you will be able to witness and minister to somebody because of what God taught you that you would never be able to share with them had God not brought you through that storm. They're on resurrection ground. Because the storm, and this is tough, but it's true. The storm had took them higher than they had ever gone before. Higher than they'd ever gone before. In the book of Job, chapter 42 and verse number 5, after Job had come through all of his trials and all of his troubles, here's something very profound that Job said. He's talking to God. And he said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. You know how you get to know God? You get to know him intimately when you're on your face and you have no one else to call on or depend on but him. You see, I heard Charles Stanley many years ago when I was just a young man. He made a statement. It's not just a write it down statement, but it's a chisel it in your heart statement. He said, prosperity makes monsters, but adversity makes men. And I tell you what makes worshipers is learning how to follow God in a storm. See, Romans 8:28 says this, that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You see, I've had things happen in my life and I've questioned God. Had things happen that are strange. But I tell you, when the storms come, what I've learned to do, I have learned immediately just to fall down on my knees, to open my ears to the Holy Spirit and allow God to speak to me. I don't like the waiting. I don't like the uncertainty. I don't like the fear. But I've learned that the God that I serve, he's not going to change because I'm in a storm. And what I don't like, I don't like some of the things that you eat when you're in a storm. What do you mean? I talked about this one time, and in fact, one time I actually demonstrated this in a Sunday school class. It's where you take all the things that are required to make a cake. And you get all the ingredients in bowls and you line them up. And this would be kind of like what Miss Darla does in here, you know, every Sunday night for the Awana, all these illustrations. But you put your flour in a bowl. Nobody wants to eat flour. You choke to death. Even a spoonful of salt. Nobody wants to eat a spoonful of salt. I used to think I wanted to eat vanilla flavoring, Brother Tommy. It smelled so good till I turned it up and drank it. It's like eating a green persimmon. Now, I remember when I thought I was tough, young men, just a couple of times, I put raw eggs in a milkshake. I realized I didn't need that. What about when you put it all together? Even a bite of butter. I mean, I like my butter on my cornbread, and I like my butter on my rolls. Maybe too much. But I tell you what makes it good. It's when it's all mixed together. And it begins to take shape. And you can see all these ingredients together. And I tell you what makes cookies good to me is just the... I don't like them too sweet. I like just the right amount of salt in there. And you know, and that's the way it is when God works in our life. We would never become what God wants us to be without the storms in our life. I tell you what we'd be. If God didn't teach me, I would be a miserable person. I would not be kind. I would not have a tender heart. I'd be judgmental. But God's brought me to the point in my life that I understand and I know that He's God and I'm not. And my job is to follow Him. Now let's look at some things that God did not do. The scripture said, we read it, and God remembered Noah. See, God did not fail Noah. He did not fail. You see, God did not say, Noah, go in to the ark. He said, Noah, come in to the ark. You see, there was a reason there for that, and this is what I want us to understand in our lives, that in every situation that we face, every storm, every trial, God is already there before we get there. And when God said, come into the ark, we don't understand it, we can't see it, but I want you to understand something. We're never going to face anything if we're saved by the grace of God and we're God's children, that we're going to do it alone. Because a Christian is never, ever alone. A Christian in a foxhole is not alone. A Christian in a jail cell is not alone. A Christian in a hospital room when nobody's coming to see them is not alone. Because we have the presence of a loving God that's with us that'll never, ever forsake us. You see, when they went into the ark, then something happened. The Lord shut that door. When He shut that door, it was not going to be open till He said it was going to be open. You see, God shut them in, and no man could open it. You see, God didn't fail Noah, but I also want you to understand that God did not forsake Noah. You see, when they were in this ark, and you know, I like the water to be smooth. I've already talked about that in my Christian life, and you know, if you've ever been out on the ocean, I don't go out on the ocean much. We don't go out on the ocean at all. It's just right here. Sometimes I've heard people say, I had a guy tell me, he said, I took everything that there was to take. He said, there ain't nothing that'll work. Sometimes a ride's rough. I remember one time I went up to Lake Lanier. We were going to have a little vacation. My mother, brothers and sisters, and I had a little 15-foot John boat. And can I just say it real short? Lanier's not a lake that you put a 15-foot John boat in. By the time I got from the boat dock around to where our little camp was, I was praying like Noah in the ark. Lord, just let me get there. I did not go fishing. I went early in the morning and put that thing back on the trailer. See, God didn't fail Noah, but here's what I want you to understand. God didn't forsake Noah. And this is what I want us to understand as Christians. When we're riding on the waves that are the storm of our lives, God is riding with us. See, God was with them in that boat, in that ark. And he provided what they needed to make it through. You see, there was provision in the ark. And here's why. And this is so important. Because they had followed God's direction in getting the ark ready. You see, sometimes what God does in our life, he begins to move us. He begins to try to teach us. He begins to work in our life. And we need to be attentive and listening to the Holy Spirit because sometimes what we don't realize is God might be getting us ready for something that we're going to face and we have no idea what it's going to be like. That's why little old Daniel, when he was over there keeping the father's sheep, and you would say, well, why would a shepherd boy have to fight a lion? Why didn't God just send it somewhere else? Why would a shepherd boy have to fight a bear? I'll tell you why. Because God was getting him ready to face a giant. And the reason they were able to make it through this storm is because they followed God's direction in getting the ark ready. And here's what we need to understand today in our lives as Christian people. We need to follow God and we need to get ready because we don't know what tomorrow holds. But I want to walk with God. See, God did not fail Noah. God did not forsake Noah. But remember, God did not forget Noah. See, I know and understand when you're going through the storm of your life. And sometimes it's not the days that you're at church on Sunday morning, but it might be Monday night or Tuesday night. When you're there and the family's gone and the visitors are gone and your loved ones don't seem like they're close and you know people care about you, but they're not with you and you hear the whispering in your ear and you begin to question, has God left? Has God forsaken me? Does God hear me? I want you to understand that the scripture says that God remembered Noah. See, God didn't fail him. He didn't forsake him. He didn't forget him. And he helped him get through to the other side of the storm. And I want to share three things that are found. In your scripture, you can see these. Three things found on the other side of the storm. If you look at the scripture in Genesis chapter number 8 and verse number 11, and you look at this scripture right in this area, we find that, you know, of the clean animals and these birds, that he took not only two, but he took sevens. Noah went up and he, you know, was allowed by God to open the window, and he turned the dove loose, and the dove flew around, and it flew for a while, and it flew, and finally it came back, and it could find no place to rest, and he reached out, and he took it back into the ark. But after, I think it's 7 days, he went up and he released it again. This time the dove went, and it flew, but this time when it came back, it had an olive leaf in its mouth. He took the dove up the third time and he released it. And this time when he released the dove did not return because the dove had found a place to where it could rest its feet. Now I want to tell you what the dove means in the Word of God. The dove represents peace. And I'll tell you one thing you're going to find on the other side of the storm. Praise God. I like this part now. We're getting a part of it that I like. I tell you what you find. You find peace. Because every one of us as Christians, we understand it does not matter what you have. It does not matter what you own. It does not matter what you possess. It does not matter what anyone thinks about you. It does not matter how popular you are. If you don't have peace, you know you're missing something. Amen. He got to the other side. He found peace. See, when this dove came back with this olive leaf in its mouth, that's just like the good news from a far country that comes. Noah says, going to be all right. We're going to make it. Sometimes you get to the point you just don't know if you're going to make it or not, but when you get to where you can hear something from God and God shows up in his presence and he wraps his arms around you, and that's exactly what I believe happened when that dove was in that dove, came back and it had that olive leaf in its mouth. See, after coming through a storm, you need peace. Doesn't the scripture say in one place, it says, after you are tempted a while, he He'll establish, He'll strengthen, and He'll settle you. That's that peace. Now look at the 20th verse. They found a place of peace. They also found this. It says, and Noah built an altar unto the Lord. You see, you find peace, but I'll tell you what else you'll find, and this is why we need to keep our focus on the Lord. You find a place of worship. Now, I want us to consider the law of first mention, and this is very important if you get into real Bible study. You know, this is the first time that this is mentioned in the Bible. You see, you find the principle found when Abel offered his sacrifices, but the word itself is first found in Genesis 8:20. The word altar in Hebrew, it means to lift up. You see, they built an altar because now we understand that the ground has got a curse on it. Now, here's what I want you and I to understand. Folks, we're just here for a short period of time. We're God's children. And yes, there is a curse, but I want to tell you there's also a curve. This is a whole other message. I got to be careful right here. There's a curve. I tell you what the curve is. The curve is the grace of God that He pours out on you and I to help us be able to live and face this world that we're living in. The cure is with Christ in heaven when we're brought up together to be with Him. That's why Paul said he desired not to be unclothed, but clothed upon. He had already seen the glory of the Lord, and he wanted to go be with Him. But he said, I got to go back. There's a little more work for me to do. They come through this storm. There was peace. There was a place of worship. And I tell you what that is. That's the time that you just lift up praise to God. It's a time when you come through the storm and you say, Lord, I just come to thank You. There's a song that one of our deacons used to sing. He said, maybe tomorrow there'll be trouble and sorrow and 1,000 teardrops will fall. But until I face tomorrow's task, I have no special favor to ask. I just came to talk with You, Lord. You see, you find a place of peace. You find a place of worship. Then you go down to Genesis chapter 9 and verse 13 through 15. You find this. You find a promise. I want you to understand every promise that God ever made you, He's going to fulfill. God said to Noah, He said, I'm going to put My bow in the clouds. Now, I want to tell you what God did. He said, now I'm putting this in the clouds. He said, this is My promise to you that this earth will never experience what it's experienced right now again. He said, but this is what God said. God said of Himself, when I see the bow, it'll remind me of what I said to you. Right now, seated on the right hand of the Father is Jesus Christ making intercession for you and I. And every time that God the Father looks at His Son, you know what He does? He remembers you. He remembers how precious you are. He remembers what Jesus Christ did on your behalf. There's a verse in the book of Psalms. Says, can a woman forget her suckling child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? He says, yea, they may forget, but I will not forget thee, for I have graven thee in the palms of My hands. I do have an iPad. I can give you the place after a while. God's not going to forget you. When you come through to the other side of the storm, you find a place of peace. You find a place of worship. But what you find are the promises of God. See, because God has not changed. Now, let's remember how it all started. I want to be on God's team. It started like this. Genesis 6:8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Philippians 1:6 says this. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I tell you what that means. If you're God's child and you're saved, as long as you're on this earth, He's going to be working on you. Some people, it's a more difficult time, and you know, it's just we're just stubborn, aren't we? We're just hard-headed. But God loves us so much that no matter what, He's not going to quit. See, God has not and He will not quit on you. See, I believe this with all my heart. We're going to have a song in just a minute. If God has led you to it, he'll lead you through it. Now that's a nice sounding cliche. But folks, here's a story in the Word of God that supports that. See, remember, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then in Genesis 8:1, it said, God remembered Noah. And in 9:1, it said, God blessed Noah and his sons. So I tell you what we need. We need peace. Maybe we need to build an altar. Maybe there's somebody here this morning. I tell you what, if it's about storms, every one of us has got one.
Amen.
Maybe we need to build an altar. We need to come down here and say, God, I remember your promises. He's not changed, folks. And he will lead you to the other side of the storm. Would you stand with us as they sing? God spoke to your heart. I tell you what, God's not changed. God wants you to have that peace. He wants you to have that promise. Maybe we need to build an altar this morning. Would you come if God spoke to your heart?
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. And when things change and you're down in the valley, don't lose faith, for you are never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. For the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day up on the mountain, oh, the talk comes easy. When life's at its best, but it's down in the valley. Trials and temptations, that's when faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. For the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day God of the day is still God in the night.
Y'all sing with me.
For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. For the God of the The God of the day is still God in the night. The God of the day is still God in the night. discouraged? Why do the shadows come? And why does my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is He. His eye is on the spell, 'cause I know He watches me. His eye.